and welcome to Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. My name is CJ the DJ, and I am your host for this week's Grad Chat. Of course, a show like this could not happen without the support of the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs, as well as CFRC, so thank you very much to both of them. Now, if you may miss the show at any time, you can download the podcast the next day on either iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and CFRC Podcast. So no excuse not to hear what our awesome students and postdoctoral fellows are doing. Today, though, I would like to introduce you to a group of graduate students who are participating in one of our special programs called the PhD Community Initiative. Welcome to Grad Chat, everyone.
Thank you.
It is great to have you all here. But before we talk about the PhD Community Initiative, it's probably a good idea if I get you all to introduce yourself. So perhaps you can say your name, what program you're in, and what kind of research that you're doing. And then we will get on to the program and the very specific project that you're talking about. So maybe Kelechi, maybe you can start us off.
All right, thank you, Colette. My name is Kelechi Kemmele. I'm a PhD candidate in the School of Kinesiology and Health Studies. My discipline is health promotion, and my research right now is focusing on exploring movement behaviors among school children in Antigua and Barbuda.
Priyanka, what about you?
So my name is Priyanka Yulmo, and I'm a PhD student in biomedical and molecular science, as well as in Sinclair Cancer Research Institute. So my research project is to investigate the role of immune cells in response to immunotherapy in non-muscle invasive bladder cancer.
Lots to do there. And as we know, with immune cells and cancers, there's so many different varieties. It makes it very, very difficult to do that work, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you. And Firuzan, what about you?
Hello, very nice to meet you. I'm Firuzan Turki from Department of Biology at Molecular Biology. And right now I'm working on neuropeptide receptors and the potential ligands of two neuropeptide receptors of C. elegans, if you heard about that, and the potential ligand. These are somehow involved in some different pathways. We are not sure how many pathways they are involved, but we are looking to see where and how they are working in these pathways.
And Tanvi.
Hi, my name is Tanvi, and I'm doing a master's in biomedical informatics. So I am with the School of Computing as well as the Department of Biomedical and Molecular Sciences. And for my research project, I'm working with omic data related to pulmonary hypertension and just building data pipelines around analyzing big data and making it available for researchers in the pulmonary hypertension area and
understanding data is very, very important to all of us, because if we there's no point collecting all this data if we don't then use it.
Exactly.
And for something. So you've got a big project, even though you're only doing a master's, you've got a very big project there.
Yeah.
And Sinta Yahu.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Sinta Yawami, and I'm a PhD candidate in the Rehabilitation Science Program under the supervision of Dr. Jordan Miller. My PhD tests focus on the development and the pilot testing of interprofessional rehabilitation program for people with chronic low back pain in Ethiopia.
Well, that's going to be important, not just, I think, for Ethiopia, but for a lot of different countries, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of good work that you can be doing there. So thank you. And the last member of the team is actually the mentor of our team, who I don't think is able to actually connect, but I just want to mention none of these projects can, as we're going further, can go without having some great mentors that may have retired or still working and just want to sort of help out as well in some of these projects. So the mentor for our lovely little group here is Jeannie Sawyer. Yes, apparently you are enjoying retirement, looking at my notes here, so that is great. And it's nice to have someone like Jeannie, who the whole purpose is to sort of help the group keep on track with the particular project, give some advice from time to time, but ultimately the project is for our students to do. But anyway, we're going to find out a little bit more about that in just a minute. So I'm just wondering, with the group then, who would like to talk to me a little bit about what is the PhD Community Initiative, just to enlighten everyone who is listening? Because I do mention it from time to time, but it's always good to have a little reminder. Who would like to talk about what is the PhD Community Initiative and why you wanted to be a part of it?
I can talk about the PhD Community Initiative. Actually, it's an innovation program offered by the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs at Queen's University. It's a co-curricular experiential learning opportunity where interdisciplinary teams of PhD students partner with community organizations to tackle pressing socioeconomic issues. We can say that the initiative combines the academic expertise with community-driven problem-solving to create meaningful, impactful changes. Yes, and this community pairs graduate students with the organization committed community development each year. This year, our group partnered with KFL and A Public Health to evaluate their communication strategies to prevent invasive meningococcal disease among post-secondary students, which my teammates will discuss it later in details. And we believe that this community, beyond the direct impact that has on the community, also has also benefits the PhD student like me by fostering teamwork, problem solving, and real world application of our research skills. It's a fantastic way, actually, to bridge the gap between a pure academic and the community while contributing in very important initiative. And I can say that we're really pleased to work with KFL and A Public Health and looking forward to sharing the outcome of the project, which could shape better public health strategy for years to come.
Well, Farouzan, thank you for that bit of an overview, and you summed it up very, very well. What made you want to be... put your name forward to be in part of the PhD Community Initiative in the first place?
Well, last year I've heard from some of PhD students that it has a huge impact on making this, filling this gap between the pure academic and involving in the our community. So I was excited to participate in this year.
And I think that's an important point, that we have this program. Like you said, it's filling a gap, because you're all very good at what you do in your research, but sometimes you don't always realize that the skills that you are learning in doing your degree can be transferred into other areas and can be very, very helpful. And we have, you know, there's a lot of great community organizations here in Kingston. And so it was a nice way of that balance between, here, I've got these skills, let me help you in something that you're finding difficult to do yourself, or you need more assistance with. And so it's a nice little partnership there, but also an amazing learning opportunity for each of you. Cynthia, why did you want to be part of the PhD Community Initiative?
Thank you for your question. Yeah, this is a great opportunity for us to have an impact to the community, or it is about it's about practicing what you learn in the school into the community. So changing your expertise or skill into the practice, and as well as this a great opportunity for learning, as well as a chance to make also a meaningful contribution to public as well. So yeah, that's why I wanted to be part of this community, as well as, you know, it gives you the opportunity to work as a team, which is a good skill to also develop in. Yeah.
Right, great. And Priyanka, what about you?
I do resonate with Cynthia and Farouzan, because I think for me, the main two points were to definitely bridge the gap, to see, because I do work in the lab, and then how do I give back to the community where I've been working for 4 years now? So I think one of the main reasons was definitely to give back to the community. And secondly, I would say it was to learn more about community engagement, or how to work with a community partner, leadership, interdisciplinary collaboration. So I think it was also more for myself in terms of like professional and career growth, and it was like I can help a community as well as improve myself as a PhD candidate. So I think it was a mix of both.
That's great. Kalichi?
My response is similar to what my colleagues have also said. It's understanding that for myself, I've been in Kingston for like 4 years, and Kingston has been a home to me. So being part of this program would allow me to give back to Kingston, and being part of a program that will be helping people who live in Kingston. So I find that something that is very important. Also, like what everyone else has also said, you know, understanding that as graduate students, we are developing our research skills and all that, but it's also important to develop our industry-related skills and basically take all that we've learned in research and try to apply them in day-to-day life, in trying to change day-to-day life of people in Kingston community. So that's something I found really interesting. I am, for one, a person who loves volunteering, so it was a beautiful opportunity for me to volunteer as a graduate student and something that would have effect on the lives of people in Kingston while I'm still schooling in Kingston.
That's fantastic too. And Tanvi, I know you've snuck in as a master's student, but you know, which we do allow from time to time, even though it's called the PhD Community Initiative. What made you want to, at this stage in your education, wanted to be a part of a program like this?
I just thought that it was a really great opportunity for me to make connections. And as everybody's, all of my colleagues and team members said, we can be sometimes very tunnel visioned when we're working on our research and our projects. And so we tend to forget that there are other important professional skills that can be developed through programs like this. And I just thought it was a really cool project to be working on. And I'm grateful that I was able to sneak in, even though I'm not a PhD student. But yeah, I've learned so much. And I'm really grateful that I am a part of this.
No, that's great. And what I've always loved when I listen to each iteration of the PhD Community Initiative and all the projects and things that got done at the end is how much you've all learned about that particular project and that particular community group. But I think some of you mentioned, you know, you've had to work together because you're all from different disciplines. And that's not always easy because sometimes you think in different ways. And that's the uniqueness of this program, is bringing you from different disciplines, working on a project that is outside of academics per se. And how well do you work well together and with that community partner? Because it's very easy to sometimes go to a community partner and say, this is what we think you should be doing, instead of listening to the community partner and say, oh, what would you like us, what would you like help in? And sometimes that's not easy for a grad student because you've got some great ideas and you want to impress those. But part of being in business or anything like that, you've got to listen to who you're working for. And in this case, it's your community partner. So you may have some great ideas and they say, yeah, go for it. And sometimes they say, no, I want you to do it this way, in which case you have to learn, okay, so how do we pivot to be able to do it that way and still make it work? So well done for all of you putting your hand up to do this. So with that, though, we know why you're in the program. Who can tell me about a bit more about what is this specific project that you're working with for KFL and A Public Health? And what have they asked you to do?
I can take the lead on that, if that's okay. And then I would love if my team members would chime in if I'm missing out on anything. So the purpose of our project, it is to assess the knowledge and perceptions of post-secondary students around IMD, invasive meningococcal disease. The community of Kingston, we've had a couple of cases in the past year. And so it's important for the public health to understand what kind of efforts they need to do in order to basically design their health promotion projects related to this very deadly disease. And so our focus is developing and implementing recruitment strategies for the invasive meningococcal disease survey. And as I mentioned before, we're targeting first and second year post-secondary students at Queen's as well as St. Lawrence College. And the insight that the survey will provide, it will be crucial and very helpful for the public health unit to develop and implement strategies that are effective and something that can reach the students and educate the young adults of the community.
So if your target audience is, you know, post-secondary, what kind of questions are you asking? Because some of them probably don't even know what meningococcal disease is. So what kind of questions are you asking? And is it more for an awareness? The survey is more to a bit of an awareness thing. What are you trying to do there? And what are you trying to ask these students?
So basically, the questions is, first of all, trying to find out if they've even received the vaccine. That's one of the crucial questions. But then again, trying to find out if they're actually aware of the disease itself and how the disease can be spread, and if they are aware of things to do to protect themselves from the disease. So it's more or less trying to get their perception of how they are aware of IMD.
Okay, and Tanvi mentioned there's been a few cases here in Kingston already. I shouldn't say only a few cases, because one case is one too many. But why the sudden urgency from KFNL Public Health to find out now what the perception and awareness of this disease? Have they talked about that to you?
So I wouldn't say this is the first time they're putting out feelers to know if students are aware of this. I know they have a steering committee where they are working with them, with people from Queen's University, from SLC, and from the Royal Military College. They have that in place, and I think they've also put out like surveys and things like that to find out awareness. And it's just so our role here is just to help them get the message out, reach more audience, and get more people aware to help them plan better. So this wouldn't be the first time they're doing this. We're only trying to make it better for them, sort of.
So Priyanka, maybe I can ask you this. In the survey itself, are they hoping to find out ways of what will make this population, this target audience, take note? So are you saying, you know, what's the best way to reach them for the promotion of what this disease can do? Is it through emails? Is it through social media? Is it through posters? Is it things hung up around campuses? Are they some of the sorts of things that they're looking to find out? You know, what is the best way to reach this audience?
Yes, in a way, because to answer that question, in the survey, they do also have a video which talks about like how it is a contagious disease as well.
Right.
And students who live in the residence, as well as they have, are like they're hanging out in the common, like the cafeteria or in the canteen. So that could be a common spot for them to like, for the disease to spread. So the survey kind of focuses on how like you should be careful and it also addresses questions, or just like a straightforward yes or no question related to symptoms and the pathophysiology. Like, so if you have so-and-so symptoms, you need to be careful, get yourself checked. It talks about the vaccination status, like, have you ever received vaccination for meningococcal B vaccine? Because I think last year there was a drive that they had done here by the student community and the student wellness center themselves, and the numbers were not that great. So this survey, again, is also to get more students to be aware that there is a specific vaccine for IMD, and it's better to get vaccinated rather than like face the symptoms and go through all the consequences later. And as a student, I think it's difficult to live in a silo. You have to interact. You are in a classroom with a different, like, I would say at least like 100 students in the same room, and you cannot avoid and say like, I'm going to be isolated and just stay by myself. And it's not fair, and it shouldn't be as well as an undergrad student when you're exploring all the different opportunities. So I think the survey is just to create an awareness that enjoy, have fun, but also be mindful of the symptoms and get vaccinated. And I think it also talks about the number of vaccine doses, because you can get up to 2 to 3 just as a prevention. So it talks about if you've received, I think it's better to get a second dose to increase your memory towards the bacteria itself. And other than that, they also talk about the basic inquiries, like, are you an international or a domestic student? And like, where do you reside? Because if it is in a housing or in a dorm, then you are like more sustainable to get it.
Right, right. So with this particular project, I mean, clearly there's lots to do in the survey. what have each of you done? What are your roles? Because I know in projects you're working in a team, and you know someone might be good once the survey comes in as good at the data, analyzing the data. Someone is good as actually thinking about these are the kind of questions that we need to ask. Someone else is, you know, putting it together in a package that's easy and sort of user-friendly. You know, everyone will have a different role to play. So how did you figure out who is doing what in this particular project?
I would love to answer that question, because I'm saying this because it's because I'm very proud for I'm lucky that I've been assigned to this group. And so it wasn't really difficult for us to find out who gets to do what. First of all, we have this amazing team that works where we have a team leader every month and a scribe every month. So everyone gets to play the team leader, like the chairman of the group.
Brilliant.
Yes. And so you get to notice different sort of leadership styles and all that. And everyone gets to play the role of a scribe or a secretary. You get to learn all that skills. And then when it comes to assigning roles and all that, we would have our meetings and we'll decide, right, these are the tasks that needs to be done. And people will just say, well, I am very good at this. I'm happy to take this on. Or you say, I can walk up to this extent and I need someone to help me out with that. And that's right. Basically what has been happening. So I we've not had any task that has been assigned to someone and the person had to struggle. It's always people jumping up and saying, I'm very good at this, leave this right. to me and I'm ready to do it. And that has been what has been pushing our group together. And as I said, it makes me very happy to be part of this particular group.
Well, that's really nice that you've all got on so well, because that doesn't always happen in teams, right? Sometimes there can be friction in teams. Sometimes that you can have very strong people and other people who are prepared to sit back a little bit. And we need that sort of, everything needs a balance. And the fact that you've all had an opportunity to be the team leader, which is a great skill to have, that's fantastic. And so kudos to you all for making your team work. And I'm sure it makes it much easier for your mentor as well, knowing that that's happening. So with any sort of project, okay, you're wanting to get this survey out. What have you seen so far? Maybe Cynthia, who you could talk about, what are some of the challenges you've had so far? Because you don't have long to do this project. So what are some of the challenges to date?
Yeah, thanks. I would be happy to respond for this question. Yeah, as my team mentioned, the main goal of this project is to assess knowledge and perception of the post-secondary students at Queen's St. Lawrence College and also Royal Military College from these three institutions. So while this initiative provides with invaluable learning opportunities and a chance to make also a meaningful contribution to public and student community health, it has not been without its challenge. So we can view these challenges from two perspectives, team-related challenges and project-related challenges. So one of the challenge of team-related is like the management and the workload, the time management and the workload.
Right.
So balancing the workload of this project or this initiative with our PhD research project, which are really demanding, has been particularly tough. So since this initiative is voluntary, we initially actually agreed to dedicate 5 to 7 hours per week for this project. However, there have been and also will be weeks when the demand exceeds these commitments and leaving us a little bit overburdened. So this is especially difficult when considering additional responsibility outside of academics, like family responsibility and personal obligations. Mm. So as Kelechi mentioned, as a mitigation for this workload, we have kind of strategy like creating a realistic timeline with clear milestone and also deadline for the project, distributing tasks among team members to reduce the workload for individuals.
Right.
So these were the main mitigation strategy we have been using for the workload. When it comes to project related challenges, I can say recruiting participants for the study has been a significant challenge. Particularly engaging a diverse and a representative group of undergraduate students from Queen's, SLSA, and RMC, mm-hmm. really challenging. And as you well aware, many students have busy schedules and the competing priorities, which can make it challenging to secure their participation in this survey. The other main challenge is maybe the ethical and the bureaucratic hurdles has been a significant challenge, because securing ethics approval from multiple institutions like from SLC and RMC, it consumed much time, and also it really required persistent patience. And there are also resource constraints, which I can mention that.
Well, ethics is never easy, but unfortunately, it is something we need to tick off the list. Otherwise, we're not allowed to use or go forward. So in terms of the chat, I think I heard it correctly, with the challenge of, you know, getting the survey to the people who you want to fill it in, it's not easy. Maybe Firuza or Tanvi, how are you going to get this survey to this particular group of students? What have your thoughts so far? Because I think it was Priyanka Kalichi talked about, you might be in, you know, this group is very much a lot of the times those that are in residences. So there's areas where they can meet. Are you thinking about putting posters up in the dining halls or having you out there and handing out little forms and saying, look, we would really love you to fill this form and here's the QR code to access it? What are some of the ways that you're thinking about of actually getting this survey into the hands of the students that you want to answer it?
I can speak about this. So as a group, we've brainstormed a lot of different ways. And so far, we have connected with different sort of gatekeepers across the campus who would be helpful to us in getting the word out and spreading the survey to the students. And so we have connected with residence coordinators, we've connected with academic coordinators, program coordinators. We have a digital version of the poster with a QR code in it and a clickable link. And we also have one of our other team members who isn't here with us today, Sebastian, but he has been going around the campus and has been actually putting up physical posters.
Good job.
That we've printed.
So in the cold, that's brave.
Yes. So those have been our main strategies. And as well as we're constantly on the lookout for people that can help us, we have connected with off-campus housing coordinators as well. And that has been our strategy so far. And we have been receiving some responses. We have started to see a little bit of a positive response.
Right.
And as soon as we have a green signal from St. Lawrence College, as well as RMC, we would be sort of implementing the same strategy there as well.
So, Firuza, with that, I mean, yes, the survey is getting out there, but what for you guys would be considered a success rate of surveys? Because surveys are only as good as the number of people that fill it in, really. And to help KFL and A Public Health, you want a certain amount of students that have responded.
That's true. And I wanted to actually, before I talk more, added some other doors that we are looking maybe open for putting the survey there. Like we are making a list of program coordinators. They may help in different departments to distribute the survey, they may have more impact on each department's students. So
right,
we will get more responses. And regarding to our team, I think every step is counting as a success, because already we have made lots of skills like team working. Even it has impact on our writing skills, can say, because as Kalichi mentioned, each month one person is a secretary, the other is chair, and it helps us for leadership improve our skills in leading the teams, writings, and everything. So each step is a success for us. But regarding to KLFNA Public Health, I believe for them as well, even finding the barriers and how they can open more doors, making more connection, it can be a success. Or which part of the community is responding to the survey even this small information can impact a huge impact on the community.
And I think you brought up a good point there, Farizan, is that whatever your group is able to do now becomes a bit of a model that KFLNA can use for other health issues that may come up in the future. So as you said, you've opened doors of, you know, you've found the contacts to try and get messages to the right population. And so that can help them down the track if something else comes up and they go, well, you know, you did this for us before. Now we can copy this and do it for the next, unfortunately, health risk that may be in place. Yeah. So I'm sure in terms of KFLNH Public Health, they're going to be really pleased with you. Hopefully you'll get the numbers to get some good data for them to use on this particular topic. But you're also going to give them also a plan that they can use elsewhere. So well done to all of you. You must be very proud of yourselves. And I'm looking forward to when you've finished your project, listening in to what you say in the capstone event, because I always enjoy listening to that. You know what, everyone, you know, we've come to the end, but I do want to thank you all so, so much for coming on and talking about the program itself, but your particular project, because it is important. You know, meningococcal disease is not a good one to have around. So the work you're doing is going to help the safety of our community. So thank you very much for doing that. And best of luck for finishing this project and also, of course, with your own research degrees as well. And thank you for spending your own time to help on something like this, apart from just your studies, because I know that's not easy as a grad student, juggling everything. But the fact that you volunteer, and it is a voluntary position, everyone, the fact that you volunteered to put in this amount of time each week is fantastic to hear. So Farizan, Cynthia, Tanvi, Kalichi, and Priyanka, and I know Jeannie is listening in, thank you all so, so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Can we add a kind of acknowledgement? Sorry.
You certainly can.
Yeah, I mean, we're really grateful for the significant support that we have been receiving so far. For example, Heather has been very supportive for us for the continuous follow-up guidance and support. And I would like also thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our project and promote the survey. So this is a great opportunity for us to promote the survey. So we want to thank you as well. And we also extend our gratitude to various offices at Queen's University, including Student Affairs, Housing and Ancillary, Student Wellness Service and Program Coordinator across different faculties, because they were very supportive in distributing the survey and the poster. Last but not least, we are really fortunate to have a mentor, who call her our magician. We call her our magician. So we're really fortunate to have a mentor who has been incredibly supportive, guiding us through the complexity of survey distribution, bureaucracy, and improving response rate. So thank you, Jeannie, for your support throughout this project.
Well, I'm sure Jeannie is very happy when she hears this, and I'm sure she's feeling very lucky that she's got a great group to work with. So I think it will go both ways. So, okay, everyone, I'm going to have to go. Please come back individually and talk a bit more about your own work as well, because I'd love to chat more on that. So that's it, everyone. Another week of Grad Chat sadly comes to an end. Don't forget, you can download the show tomorrow from either iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and CFRC Podcast. Just type in Grad Chat. Until next week, this is CJ the DJ signing off with a big hooray.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.